at the outset, the author suggested several approaches to the problem of identifying the immigrant Jews. The one that he dealt with so far, to some extent, was the concept of rogue, of a rogue being that if something is in doubt and we don't know where it comes from, then if the majority of sources are one way, we follow the rogue. And the big problem, of course, he had was to the problem of identifying the immigrant as Jews. The one that he dealt with so far, to some extent, was the concept of rogue, of a rogue being that if something is in doubt and we don't know where it comes from, then if the majority of sources are one way, we follow the rogue. And the big problem, of course, he had was to carve out a distinct group in which Jews can be a rogue. Because if you take them vis-a-vis the entire populace of Russia, then obviously they are a minority, a very significant minority. So the only way we can deal with rogue is if we can make out of the older Russia, the immigrants or the emigrants of Russia, or even those who apply for immigration or plan to immigrate, to make them a separate group, a distinct group, and out of that group, it is possible to establish that the majority are Jewish. Now, we will go into the logistics of how we establish them being Jewish on what basis a little later in the essay. But there was another suggestion that we had. Namely, there is a Gemara which says that the person comes and says he's Jewish, he believes. Okay? Now the question is, what is the basis of that Gemara, of that belief? And there are several approaches. The first one he deals with, which I'll deal with sort of in an abbreviated fashion, is Milsa the Avide Legluya. In other words, if somebody bears testimony or makes a statement which normally might not be acceptable because I don't have sufficient reason to believe him otherwise, he doesn't have a din of age, whatever you need to it, whatever it is. If he says something which can later be verified one way or the other, we have a chazaka that a person does not want to be made publicly a liar. So if he knows that what he says is verifiable from other sources, which will be believed, and he will be put in the position of false testimony, he will think twice or three times or not at all bear such testimony. Okay? Now, the Musa David Aleluya is one of the things that is suggested for the heter for the Russian immigrants, and he examines it. Is there such a thing that that the people who claim they're Jewish or who bring somebody else to state that they know they're Jewish, are they to be believed on the basis that it might be discovered later that it's not, and therefore Mr. Hallelujah, a person may not say the wrong thing. Now he discusses the report, it's highly technical, that's why I omitted it, the various concepts about Mr. Villa-Liguria, and this is more or less the conclusion already, so we'll start with that. In Nidon Oyla Russia, that's square number 2 on page 39. In judging, in discussing the Russian immigrants, Nira, the E.F.S.L.I.S.M. of Ahal Nocha, we cannot rely on the concept of Shemil Siddhavid of Lizluyul and Meshaka, that a person will not lie about something that will eventually come out. There's there Mishnei Tamim for 2 reasons. Atam Echot, the first reason is, Kigeda Milsid Asui Lizluyul, the basis for the concept that a person will not lie about something that will eventually come out, Shekasha Yisgala Hadova, when it will be revealed, is bara lekulam, everybody, it will be revealed to everybody, she'ei shikir, it doesn't mean you're a shikir, that means you lie, v'lo yuchal ishtam, but you will not be able to escape that conclusion. In other words, it's not enough that somebody will call him a liar. It has to be under such circumstances where the other party has a higher level of mnemonis, of believability, and therefore if the other guy will come and say, you're wrong, he will definitely be branded as a liar. But if he, it's his word against mine, and I can say that he is lying, so he has nothing to be afraid of there. You don't worry about the good. You cannot use that principle. And then he brings the raya from different places.
That's the first time, right?
And he brings the raya from different places. He says, even there's a case. A man died, apparently childless, and therefore the woman needs chalitza. The dovas there also the hisbara bevados al detoy shviyos shmeinu shemakim emolta. This is going to be verified because she comes in the friend and in a strange place where they don't know her. So this man comes and says, let's say the people come from a certain community. And he moved into another neighborhood, and the husband dies, and seemingly he has no children whatsoever. And this aide says, yes, they have no children, she is the chalitza. There, there's a problem, because we know they live in the community. The whole community is going to come, they're ashamed, and they know exactly what the score is. That is called the Nus David Al-Magnuya, because he's really going to be branded alive when he comes, and the whole community knows. It's not only Aiden. I mean, it's everybody. So the whole community, there's a whole community that will establish that, right. But where the aid, the witness, is not sure that his testimony will definitely be disregarded,
even though
it's possible that a witness will come. When they kicked off the Yehudim Sha'olim Russia involved the Oymer Shah Yehudi, the people come and say, he's a Jew. Kibisha Safta was Yehudi, he says his grandmother was Jewish, his mother was Jewish, his mother's mother was Jewish. Hebshon Sha'im Zemus David Lebuya. That possibly cannot be necessarily be verified, because who will go back for third generation? Is there likelihood that people will come who know the Bubba and so on? Mm-hmm. Therefore, it is not something that is clearly endangering that person of being branded a total liar. Then, it's interesting, Rav Tzvi Eger, he brings the Rav Tzvi Eger, which is very interesting. He's there on the zoo, cross of Rav Tzvi Eger, Kesheid Echot made out Manisa Shalabar. If Eid Echot testifies when the woman's husband dies. What time he died and for various years. Now we accept an Eid Echot by Nisa Sabah. Some say that it's Midaraisa, some say that Rabbonon were made because of Igon, they were made for and accepted the Eid Echot, even the Isha, or everybody can be made that the husband died. And he said, at this and this time, which makes it even more specific. Since he died, we know he's dead. And he said he died at that time. So he's putting himself into a position because there must be people who have seen him alive before he died. He called Mokom, Habidele Gruyla Haver, at the age of David. If witnesses will come and say that at the time when he said the man died, he was still alive, they saw him in the street or something, and he will say it's not true, even if it's witnesses. Even though the Torah believes witnesses to aid him more than one witness, they call him Bechlal Avida Begluya Evshla Mishne Gula Lefanena. But it's not called Avida Begluya. It's not called the Eina Kol. Atziyoba Habal Atzmoy Chai Lefanena. The Rav Kiva Eger develops a very important halachic proposition here. He says the concept of Avida Begluya that will be revealed doesn't mean necessarily that somebody will come along who has more than one. Because the Eid Echot knows that if two Eidim come, his testimony is nothing. The Chachamim accepted the testimony of one witness in the case of Nisus Abal, the death of the husband. But the Maisa, in fact, if two witnesses come and overrule him, he's overruled. Okay? There's no such thing. But he says that doesn't mean Avida Begluya. Because you can still say, they lie, and I speak the truth. It's not a question, who will be halachically believed. The question is, he feels he's telling the truth, and even two witnesses, even though the Bezdin will pass him according to them, he can still say the Bezdin made a mistake, but I know the fact that it's not so. Because this, you see, when you are davening halacha, how do we pass him? We pass him to Eidim, we believe. But if you go into the mentality of a person and you say, if he says what he believes is true, and then two witnesses come and say it's not true, we see this in court all the time. He says, I'm innocent, and all the testimony, and he says, I'm innocent. Because the important thing is, will he lose faith if two witnesses come? Not necessarily. Because, like the Rambam says, it's exerced across it that you believe two witnesses. Why should you believe? Because two people will come more than the Baal Din himself. The Torah says, this is the way, as you pass the law, this is the other way to go. But as far as the absolute truth is concerned, he says, I'm right. As you told, how many times do we find that there were false witnesses? There's a lot of evidence. So he will not, this is not enough to build a case from Avida Begluya. Because he's not worried about the Begluya. Let's say he's lying. He can always say, if your witnesses come, they say, they're lying. I doesn't will listen to them. That's your problem. But I'm saying that's true. The only thing that he has to be afraid of is that if the dead person himself comes, that if he comes himself, then you really be alive. So the Rabbi Eger established the principle that the only time when Avida Begluya is functional when the object of the testimony itself destroys his testimony. But the fact that there are other witnesses, even more acceptable witnesses in terms of the Torah that humans are acceptable, that's not enough to build the case of Avida Begluya. What is he trying to say? That according to the Rabbi Akiva Eger, even if there would be witnesses available that will come and say, no, this grandmother's not Jewish or whatever, it still would not be Avida Begluya from the Rabbi Akiva, because he would still say, they are lying, they are my enemies, they want to do it to me, you know? So they are testifying, but it's not true. My grandmother was Jewish. I would know better. I live with her. I know she's Jewish. She likes to see the candles by the night of the world.
She must kill the fish.
Yeah. Then he raises a question against Abdul Ega. Some Achronim wrote in the Rosh that if somebody comes and says he was Megaya, he was a non-Jew, but he was Megaya. Alright? Now we say that we believe a person who comes and says he's Jewish. What happens if a person says, I was not Jewish, but I was Megaya? Now here we have several possibilities. Some say that he has a Negro, he could have said, I'm Jewish in the first place. He would have believed it. Right? Others say that maybe it's a better Negro. A Negro where it's not only if it's Jewish, that the whole knowledge that comes to us that he was Gentile was from his own admission. Zapesha or Zapesha Hitler. Anyway, but there are various theories on that. And some of the Achronim wrote, that by Geos, the reason why he's believed is because his mitzvahs are vida l'gruya. It's going to come out, if it was Megaya, it had to be before Bezna or something. Mm-hmm. There will probably be some testimony available whether, in fact, first of all, you need a Bezna. There were people present by Geos. Born, you know, you have to trace back family who bothers if somebody's born who is who. But Geos is a call to action. And therefore, there's a possibility, as there are those who are. So, this kasha is, the call to happen with Eger, even if Eger will come and say that he was Megaya, or he was not Megaya, it's still not a nuisance of Eger Ligruya, because he can say, they are lying, and I'm right, that's what Rabbi Tzvi says. Even Bezin will believe Eger. They say, he says he was Megaya in Chicago on that day. We were with him in business in Philadelphia that day. How could it be Megaya over there? So Taki, we will believe the Tzvi. But the Rabbi Tzvi has already stated that this is not enough to qualify his statement. Because he will still argue, they are lying and I'm right. All right, let's turn over. And the Igas Moshe, then he quotes Igas Moshe, who essentially follows the ruling of the Rav Tzvi Eger. He shows the Eidos al Me'ura She'ira Eine Avida Lignuye. If a testimony is on an event, when something happened, it's not Avida Lignuye. Why? Even those people will come and will deny it, it's still not called Avida Lignuye. It's still not called Avida Lignuye. Vidira Yashev, so he wants to answer the Rosh according to the Rav Tzvi Eger. The Nilse, David Elignuya, he told him to ask me other. Whether a person will not, I don't want to use perjury now because there's no perjury involved here. But if a person will not lie if he knows he will be disproven publicly, that is dependent on, this is a chazoka on the mentality of the person. It's a subjective thing, it's not an objective thing. It is a psychological evaluation of human nature. What is a person going to do? Therefore, we have to evaluate and see what a person will do under certain circumstances.
That particular person.
Yes, but not particular. I mean, general. I mean, you can't start with
anything. But you can
all umdenness go by generality. If there are exceptions, it's tough luck. But we cannot, because otherwise, each one will have to take a psychological evaluation, then it's an impossible situation. The Chachamim build certain concepts which are very general, and most normal persons will act like that. Okay.
Of observation.
He's not worried others will contradict him. Because in the eyes of the people, by Bezin Taker, Bezin has to accept the testimony of the two elders. But by the belt, in society, he said, look, these two people lie, and what can I do now? I'm victimized by two liars who came to Bezin, and the Bezin couldn't rattle their testimony, and now I'm stuck. He will say, he's a liar. Abu Bigeros, הרי החויש שהבן עצמו משיגה אירו אוי זו, אין יבואי לו. יוי מושלו את רומא אוי לא. Here you have a bezin. The bezin themselves will come and say, we didn't do it. I mean, we always accept the testimony of the bezin itself, whether they did or they didn't do it. Okay? So I wish the chayla double self. The bezin will give up self, and then you'll see the bezin never gave up self. So how do you know that they gave up self? Bezin reiterates, sends out the letter, that they gave up Tzav, so you have to believe in Bezin.
You always believe this.
He says, if Bezin comes, it's not only you believe them. These are the people who were supposed to have conducted the whole thing. And if they deny it, then nobody is going to risk being exposed
to such a thing.
That's why he says, Geros is a misunderstanding. the Metzius Shegoylos Russia, but those who come from Russia, Letoyer Yahadus, and they to argue that they're Jewish, Ein Hashash Koroit Yukas Vados. There is very little chance that they will, that this, the argument will be denied with certainty. Even if a person will come and will say, I knew that he lived like a goy, he was generally considered in Russia as like they say, a Russian, not a Jew, but a Russian. The Vatsa, the source of Rabbi Akiva, in the Abiyah, besides the Rabbi Akiva Eger, that this doesn't mean I say Lulu because he will say it's not Emmet. Besides the fact, according to Rabbi Akiva Eger, that you'll always be able to say the other guy's a liar, he says here he has a rationale, because so many people hid their Jewishness. So he said, he thinks I am a goy because I am a goy, my mother acted like a goy, but I know the Jews. I know that we're not goy. We know, de facto, that there are many Jews in Russia who pose the concern as Gentiles, and that's true too. In other words, just as there are Gentiles who pastor now as Jews, when the going is good, then when the going was bad, there were Jews who pastor the Gentiles. He said, you'll see, I was one of those. So who can deny that? Therefore, he is pretty secure in making the statement that he is Jewish, and he cannot build on the concept of Asuya the Gluya that eventually will come out.
Every once in a while, there's a time to be Jewish. Pardon? Yeah, sure. Yeah. Time of
Purim. Hatam Hasheni, now comes to the second reason. Lodn in Begolas Russi is not the Sula Gluya, the Shum. Then he brings a choyman to pastor to build a concept that if the person comes from a great distance, psychologically he feels pretty secure not to be contradicted. Okay? And therefore we have a general rule. For a very distant situation is you cannot build on the Buddha Vilayah. All right, we'll leave it at that. And we'll just see the summary, the maskonos at the bottom. If somebody comes and tells us he's Jewish, Yesh v'soyle v'soyle v'shenemon, there are those of Soinim who give the reason which the Mils of David Aligluya, because it's something that can be eventually verified. Aber the source of Abdiri Ega, the Hecha, Sherob of Soinim, Choyt of Soinim, Shein Adim and Tavze. Now the cause of Abdiri Ega, the overwhelming majority of the Soinim would not accept that reasoning, and therefore, when you believe a somebody who comes and says, I'm Gentile, you cannot say that the basis of this belief is because this is David and Gluya, because it is very unlikely it will be a Gluya, even if witnesses come according to Rabbi Gilega, even if witnesses will come and will contradict him, psychologically he will still be able to justify himself in the eyes of the people that they are lying and he's correct. Therefore it is very, very difficult to establish that. And then he summarizes that many people were hiding, that they were Jewish, and also from the next place from a distant land. In other words, he discards this concept of Milada Vidaligluya as being applicable to Russian immigrants. Now he goes into something else, which the Rov has shown him hold, why a person is believed when he says he's Jewish. Rov Roshonim, the most Roshonim, Shigona ben Emutoi Shalamatzik Asma B'Yisrael, who dealt with the problem of someone who is unknown in the community and he claims he is Jewish. Possibly the Nemanu, the Stoma, the Sismo, and they made it, they didn't give us any reason, but like Gilad on the time and Rosa. Most of the Shoilim just say they accept this halacha, and they don't give us a clue what their reasoning is. Nir Lava is still a Shoilim. He said, it seems to me that we have to explain those Roshoinim. The Hine Motzino Sub Hazloko Abnuyo Al Teva Hoda. Like I said before, there is a chazaka which is built on human nature. Alright? She'alpiro tiva shalom kachu. The majority of people are that way. For instance, to God, we have a chazaka, ein odom korea atos mano. The Gemara has a chazaka if somebody takes out a loan for a certain day. To be paid back, let's say 6 months, later on he comes and says, I paid back after 3 months. Forget it. You don't believe it. Unless it brings with me. Why? Because we have a chazaka, ain't ozom poreya chod goz mana. People try to pay as later as possible.
As soon as we pay for the time.
And then they're going to run and give back money before the time is up. Yeah, but here there's no interest.
There's no interest. There's no interest here.
Don't forget it's a no interest law. According to the law.
But it could be sometimes he more pays if he has a little money and he wants to. But then he has to have a plan.
It's based on the law.
Right.
If he has a little money, he puts it in a place in a cookie jar dolls in the place was, and he keeps it there until the time. People don't like to pay at the time. Period.
That's it.
Right?
It's not a whole time, it's not a bill.
But it's not a bill, we're talking about the chod.
Yeah.
A bill payable immediately or whatever. You
can't.
But certainly not the chod. The chod uses the first to leave the loan, leave the money, he's not going to pay. He says, Hazoka can zeh omnon hoist the tzim alikoroi. It really should be called a roi, because most people do that. Shari kerubi de lesi kamon. Remember the rubi de lesi kamon? That means a rov which is not based on the quantity of people who come forth, but is based on a general natural law. Like roi behemoth kshiros. That the most animals are kosher, are not trained. Don't have the disease that makes them trained. That is, I don't have to worry from which flock that animal comes from. This is a general natural law. So similarly, any of the is mana really should be called a rubber the lesser kamon. But sometimes these things are called chazoka. It's a chazoka haboba koyako, and he calls it all the ruah. But ham shkorma chazoka, why do they prefer to call it chazoka? Kimshet the kufa who lois the maroi, the lost chazoka oimono the chiku shikaku was the tapu the dollar. The word chazoko sounds better. It is like a perfect assumption. A rove makes you suspicious right away because the rove tells you there's a meal. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. The moment you use the terminology rove, the person who is very nervous, a little obsessive, gets worried. Hey, wait a minute, but there's a meal. But if you say chazoko, you are making a statement, that's the way it is. Mm-hmm. But he has to add one little addendum here. We have other chazokas which are not so certain. For instance, we have one chazoka, robo chazoka, robo odo, where robo is better than chazoka. What is that chazoka? And this is an arbitrary chazoka that the Gemara learns out from Sukkah, which does not make necessarily an irrational sense. But again, is one of the ways in which the Torah decided to resolve sveikas. The Torah abhors sveikas. If we can resolve it, let's resolve it. And the Torah gives us a lot of things, and Liga and Arov and Baruch Hashem and all kinds of things. What is a Chazok of the Mekor? Chazok of the Mekor means that if the question of the table is, has something changed, and we don't know whether it changed in time for the Halacha to be Hal or not, we go both the Hazara. We say that the later the better. Whereas originally we know it's for so. Okay. Basically, the woman has a Hazara's Tanuya. A woman normally is born single, and she's single until she marries. Then there would be a Shaila, when did she get married? And they can have to for certain halachas. So we say, we only know she's married from the point we know definitely. This man that was in Suffolk, the gray area, we go by the Hashem's new across that certain halachas, but Tabaroyas and so on. But I'm just using it as a dogma, as a mosque. All right? That what we start out with, the burden of evidence is that it has changed. Okay? So we take Hazukim and the Torah. That, he says, is an arbitrary rule that the Torah put, because Zoran, people, things do change, alright? There is a Shaila before us now. But, we do assume the Hazuk and the Mikora that it was like that before. He says, but this Hazuk is better. A Hazuk HaBom HaKol HaKol is better than that, because it's based on the logic. Mm-hmm. It's based on the natural law. That this is the way people do it. Or behind this Ksheros, this is the way nature is. It's not because before I looked at the behavior, now I look at the behavior. And therefore, okay, I continue with what was before. That's not it. It's not that I continue what was before. I continue what's always present. This is the way the Teva is. That's where the nature is. Okay? So this is, here you use the word Hazaka not to identify a rule, but to express its intensity. That this is so clear that there is no subject. What is he trying to say? What he's trying to say is that sometimes when you're passing on a certain thing, in the back of your mind, you may have a doubt. There is a doubt, but I resolve the doubt. That doesn't mean to say that Kapi Shemayim, maybe there's still a doubt somewhere. But if you go a Hazoka, which goes on Teva, you can rest assured. You don't have to be nervous. You don't even assume that there is a suffering. Mm-hmm. It's not there was a suffering and you took away the suffering. It is like there was never a suffering to begin with. Because nature says there was no suffering. When you have a behemoth and you don't know whether it was kosher or not kosher today, inside, do we say we have a suffering? But the rope says, like Hazuka the Mikola, that's kosher. No, he says. When there is a rope in Teva, there is no suffering. It's not you have a suffering, the Hazuka takes away the suffering. The Hazuka says there is no suffering. That's why they use the lotion Hazoka, okay? And so he says, for instance, the Hazoka ain't on the Korea, the Torah's Manoi, is no suffering. There's no suffering by that, all right? That is why, he says, the other person can be Moitzamom, can be Moitzamom. Normally, on the stomach Hazoka, a Hazoka can be Korah, or something like this, you can't be Moitzamom. Even Baroi, there's a Machloit, there's a Roi from Baroi Vacha, whether we go by Moment Acha Roi or not. For instance, a person buys an ox, and we don't know whether he bought the ox for Shvita or L'Ragya. So there's a Machloit, it's Rav and Shmuel, whether we go Bosarov. So even if we hold that we don't go Bosarov, this Loiva can go now and collect his debt. Oh, why can he collect his debt? I paid him. I'm the Mosek, you're the Mosek, I'm the Mosek. Hazoka in the Perea, this is a Hazoka that, in other words, under circumstances where normally he would be believed when he says Parati, in some little Vape or somewhere, no Eda, whatever. Where he would believe Parati, if he says Parati, because man, the other guy can be Mosek, Momoim, Keneget, a Mosek, based on this Hazoka. So you see, this is not an ordinary Hazoka. Because the normal Chazoka wasn't to be Moitzamom, and even Aroyim is not Moitzamom, according to Shmuel. No, but then, it's a Gok HaSavikni. Einan Vareya Dechoyim, there's no Savikni. So the Meila, when he says he didn't pay, it's not because we give him a Chazoka against the other guy. The other guy has no Taina. When he claims that I paid, it's no Taina at all.
No,
there's no Savikni. And that's why he can be Moitzamom.
There's no Chayshul Yud to him.
Exactly. Because any Hazoka that is based on Teva, of the Roim, he says no Hazoka and has a bigger power than all the other instruments of verification that the Halacha has provided how to resolve a suffering. How to resolve itself. Now, let us see how he relates this to our situation. Nira lefare, it seems to me, sh'av b'nadeinu, in our case, maybe the oil of Russia. Let's say a Russian comes and says, I'm Jewish. Of course, they're all going to jump on him and say, well, he's going to take that up. I mean, he's not that dumb. Sometimes it's good to be Jewish. All right? Rather be Jewish, we have a whole bunch of shlomos that come here during the week. I assure you that 90% of them are not Jewish. All right? Maybe one of them.
He doesn't come on Shabbos.
I have a woman that comes here to clean every Thursday night, and she leaves. Have a good Shabbos. And there's no doubt about her voice. She wouldn't even argue that she's doing. So that is a very little harm. Of course he's going to take that up. He's going to take up all the bits of evidence, Hamdak, and so on and so forth. Later. But first he wants to establish the basic principle. So after the day of Neminosa Shemisha in a Mukha Lona Loima Shisrahu, and he can say he's Jewish, the Nuyo al Chazoka is based on a natural Chazoka, comparable to the Chazoka of Eilud of Morea Choyvoi, the Torah's mother. The Nuyo al Chazoka, She'ein Hagoi Matzik Hasmod Yisrah. A Goy will not present himself normally as a Jew. In general, he doesn't want to be a Jew. Alright? The Gemara says, I forgot the city, was it Mahaskia or one of the cities where they had the Yachikala. So the Gemara says, come a picture how foolish these people are. They see all these great scholars and all these weird Hachomim, and not one of them is regarded. I mean, how can you look at people like this without getting the urge, I want to be like that? You know what I mean? I mean, they don't want to be. You know what I mean? They would have to say it about only by everyone, but I know, but essentially, they prefer their lifestyle and they don't want to come to it. Came Mashmah, Betoysis, and the Romans, etc., etc. Betoysis said in a certain situation that you go both the Rom, and even if not Rom, we can believe him that he is Jewish because he doesn't want to be Jewish. Then he brings from a Rosh, the first is a Rosh, etc. etc. And here, in the next part, I went a little ahead of myself, is where he develops the thesis that there is no suffix at all. Elish is a dancer, the first is Hezra. In Neminos Saloy Mashisol Benuy Al Anocha, Minastam Goy, Eda Oy Malas Mashisol, who normally a Goy would not say that he's Jewish, Hare Oysa Anocha Lech Oyre Kayemes, Gamba Oy Manus Kayat. He says, why don't the Rishonim say the same thing by Geros, and they start raising questions by Geros, why do you believe in Geros? Because he's a nigger, he could have said that he's Yisrael in the first place. Why not say? What's the difference? Because there was a God. But this guy has to also make him Jewish. If you say, psychologically, that it is the terror that a God doesn't want to be a Jew, what's the difference if he says, I'm Jewish, you believe him? Or he says, no, I was a God and he was a God. It's still the same thing. If he doesn't want to be Jewish, he doesn't want to be Jewish either way. He doesn't want to live this life, he wouldn't want to live this life. So why do they show him that to find other slovers of this kayak? What's the question you raise? So he wants to say, I want it because I don't have much time and I want at least to say. He says he is different. Because once he says it was a girl, but it was Megalia. The very fact that he admitted that he was a goy and made a change already creates the suffering. You see? What was the soil that we said before? This is a chazoka,
which is not,
there is a suffering, and here comes the chazoka and he's done in the suffering, no suffering at all. But the moment he says, I was a goy,
that's the
moment he utters the word, Hey, wait a minute. He had to do something to change. Then you have to already be mavara. Did they change or didn't they change? That would be a biro in something which is already a sofer. A biro is something is sofer. And he establishes the concept that, for instance, by Uda Porea Choy, in Uda Porea Choy to Tosmana, if there is some circumstance which creates a sofer that maybe he would have paid, then no longer can you build on the Chazaka per se. Then all the evidentiary rules spring into action. As long as the Chazaka appears as not committing a suffering at all, that Chazaka is overpowering and he makes a moment, which normally it does. But the moment he says, Goyo Yisim Nisrayati, he creates a suffering himself, even though he has niggas, so you have to have a niggas, you have to have other things. But to say on the base of this Chazaka that the Goy doesn't want to be a Jew, that is already undermined. Because he said he wasn't going to become a Jew. So you have to be down on the suffering. If you're down on the suffering, this Chazaka is no longer operative. And therefore, you have to come with all the other evidentiary rules that you usually have when you have a suffering.
But it's obviously that if he comes up with that, then would say, okay, where do you miss that? Go on. I mean, but he would know that this, obviously that question would come.
Yeah, if you can establish, I want you to know, and this is a statement he's going to make at the end, so I can anticipate myself. He says, any psak along those lines does not preclude further evidence that is available. In other words, it is not a blanket statement that you don't have to investigate and you don't have to worry. Mm-hmm. If other evidence comes up, in other words, when evidentiary rules are practiced, this is not an absolute statement. For instance, we say, that is a piece of that is placeholder in a whole bunch of pieces of kosher, the yovis of Elahad betrayed by Lachis, the opposition, whatever it is, is gone. What happens if two aliens come and identify the piece that is trade? Because I can read it now, it's Botvarov. Of course not. Botvarov is a hanhoger. The Torah says you can eat the whole lot. But if there is a further verification, which is the trade for peace, of course you have to take it out. So therefore, once you put into effect the laws of evidence, there is always the possibility there will be better evidence to overturn this evidence. You see what I mean? Which is applicable even if you go with a chazaka that doesn't permit the suffering.
Mm.
There was no suffering. But now, let's say two Adam will come along and will say, I know this man, we've been with him all his life, he's not Jewish. The other Adam are bigger than the chazaka. You know what I mean? There's no question about it. And therefore, if evidence could be available, make it available. There's no question about it. We are talking, obviously, when there is no other available, it comes before Bezin, and Bezin has to know what to do. Okay?
Only we don't know if the two Adam are Jewish. Again, you go two Adam come from the same place, you don't know about them.
And Hala? Mm-hmm. You could have a very interesting situation. You know, like the teacher, a kid goes out and doesn't come back, he sends another kid out together, and before half an hour is over, he has no class left. You know what I mean? So you could have that situation there. But there are all kinds of situations, obviously. You have to deal with them as they arise. We are just trying to establish basic principles of conduct and what the person can do.
Do you ever accept Mila as a basis to be Jewish?
Mila alone, I don't know if he mentions it. I don't remember if he mentioned it or not. In Russia, by the way, it would be more evident than America. Right. In America,
they do it.
A lot of people do it, the law, because the medical profession has been debating this issue for decades. They go back and forth. It's a good for going, you know. We say it's good for you, you know, they don't have to worry about it. But they are still specific whether it's good for going or not. But in Russia, essentially, they were not Mala. So Mila would be probably a pretty good piece of evidence. As a matter of fact, our problem always was that most of the Russian Jews are not Mishka Mala.
Mm-hmm.
Either because of the dangers inherent in it, or because they didn't want to reveal that. As a matter of fact, this is a classic story which I sometimes told at Brussels. It's a murder gemara said many years ago in the early 70s, when the Russians started coming home, my late wife, when she was working with the immigrants, And that was one thing she was very strong to try to convince her to go through with the Bris Mila. She even worked with the schools, the Jewish schools, not to accept them unless they make a Bris. Something that Mamish forced to make Bris. And there was one, she showed her a letter she received from her mother, from the former generation, the book of the child. She received a letter, Laman Hashem, I'm hearing. Don't mother the child. If Khalilah has there ever a pogrom in America, they shouldn't see that he's here. The fear that was built in. So I'm saying, you know what I mean? That you see that it was obvious there that our oral, our relief, were called almost historically, a goy was an oral, that was very good. Pretty much in Russia. I don't want to say that, like a sacrilege, I don't know what the Bez in Israel does, and I don't remember if he uses this. But my guess is that the Bez would be pretty evident, unless, I mean, if you go up to Bekar, that before they left Russia and go to Israel, they're prepared to go through the Bez in order to be able to pose the Jews over there. That may be done. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry, I got it wrong. And please, let's return these because we will continue with that, of course, next week.
No.
We're in the midst of in the midst of trying to establish the nemonus, the believability of a wave of immigrants who come and claim they're Jewish, and we know that there are severe problems. So he approaches this problem from different, it's a working paper, as he readily admits in the beginning of the essay. And he approaches it from different points of view, one of them being that somehow we can establish a role. And this is really the key for his whole thesis, that we can establish in some form or fashion the notion that the majority of those who apply to go to Israel, of course, all that would not probably apply to America, because there are some other problems involved, because we'll see in a moment, even Israel may be a problem. But essentially, he's dealing with Israel, and they have, of course, the most severe problem, and that we can establish a role, a majority of people who do apply to go to Israel are halachically Jewish, right? And he's trying to find different resources for that concept, halachic resources, to assume that the majority are Jewish. And one of the concepts that he dismissed, of course, the basic text in the Talmud is the monument. When somebody comes and wants to marry a Jewish woman and he says he is a Jew, we expect the fact that he is Jewish. The Gemara does not quite explain why, but there are different reasons in the appointment. One of the arguments which he dismisses, which could not be applied to the Russian immigration, is mila da'abida le'gruya. Something people do not lie, a hazoka people do not lie, is something which can be later on revealed that they were forced. People don't want to do that. And he went through the whole sugya, where it applies, when it applies, and he came to the conclusion that for a variety of reasons, A, the distance, B, he quotes a Rabbi Akiva Eiger, who says that it doesn't apply even in the face of witnesses, because people can always say the witnesses are lying, I'm truthful, unless there is the person himself comes, or the Bezin comes and says, we were not Megala man, or something like that. But otherwise, Miladav, Bidin Megluya, is a very delicate heter. And by the way, which is also an Indian in Kashrus and other areas, which is used, and it is rarely used exclusively as the basic reason for giving a heter. It's usually used in association with other things, sort of a composite, put together package of believability. But it is a very delicate issue, because it's based on the human psychology, when people think they would be found out, will not be found out, and where they care to be found out, and not care to be found out, and therefore it is a little bit too complex. And he goes to show that in the case of the Russian Olim, there are sufficient reasons to doubt whether that factor plays any role whatsoever. Then we started out on page 45, where he quotes the Igros Moshe, a Moshe Zechonu Levracha, who has, by the way, a Moshe has, he was a phenomenal person, no question about it, but he definitely, you could see in many of his tzedakah, he is, like we all are, we are products of where we're from. And he certainly had his background in Eastern Europe played a big role in many of his tours, without any question. For instance, here, he bases it on the notion, if not all American Jews would necessarily agree, many American Jews would. And it probably varies from the level of religiosity and so on. Whether there is a natural rejection of Jewishness amongst the Gentiles. In other words, That's not because it wasn't Midrash Rabbi Lehruya or anything else. The idea that a Goy hates the Jew so much that he wouldn't want to be that hated Jew. Okay? So, number 5 on page 45, Umma Zoy is the Igros Moshe, Nira Lech Oire Shinokat, Shene Menosta Eine Minuya. It seems that the moment of the Goy who comes and says he's Jewish and we accept him, Ala Koshe Laharos Vitnaga Shel Yehudi, it is not because it's so difficult to be a Jew. Yeah, I forgot to mention that I think we went through this last week. At some stage, it seems in the early Acholim that the reason why we believe somebody when he comes and he says Jewish, because all the Jews more or less conducted themselves in the Jewish way. They weren't all tzaddikim, not they all. Shabbos and Yom Tov and so on and so forth. Because the fish now is the Hebrew national is you know, high authority, the going message. But there was in a certain commitment in conduct which was incumbent upon the very statement I'm Jewish. Alright? And then he goes to show that an hour a day, that is no longer very applicable. Because there are people, I don't know, did you learn that last week?
No.
We didn't. All right, let's go back a minute then. I think it's important. Page 43, on the bottom, number 4. Somebody who acts Jewish. We can still debate the issue. Who says this is based on the Goy, it's hard for them to act Jewish. Now, there was a time when being a Jew meant to act Jewish. Alright? And that it incurs a certain amount of difficulty. You know the famous Yiddish saying, "Shishir Tzai Naiv." Now that could have many different meanings. It could mean because you get it over the head, or it could mean because there are many restrictions and there are many difficulties that are put in your way when you do what you can do. Like they used to say in Europe, why do they call an atheist a friar? He's a friar. What do you call him a friar? Fire means he's free. He can do anything he wants. Yeah. There's no restrictions. He's a fire. He's free. Yeah. A Jew is not free. So they mean that they're actual practicing. Actual practicing. So all of Lilmot Seda Hanahagush Shalom, a whole form of action, of course, is difficult. Hakolel as a Shlahagush, which includes the ones that are accepted by Yehuda. Oh, Efsha, maybe, he raises the issue. Is that the one that's based on the fact that it is difficult for a goy to act Jewishly? Or is it based on Hanochash the Bedera Klal? It's a psychological problem. Hagoy in a voice to Lia Zimidi. He doesn't want to pass as a Jew. Ula Efsha la Hosef Azeh Gamet Amama Chazal. He could add the famous Mama. Halocha Beyedua Esim Soydal Yaakov. The Sinas Yisroel and the hatred of Jews with their clouds rule which measures the Goy is rooted in the Gentile community. He says the truth. Shagoy ain't a roi to lia sehudi. Oh, a Goy doesn't want to visit. So he says the Efsha Shahnocho Benuya al Tsirosheta Nata. Maybe the Rasholim, maybe the Gemara based it on both. In other words, one may not be enough. Because you can learn Jewish ways. I mean, the people are very adaptable sometimes. If necessary, they can posture something which they're not. So it's partially convincing. And the psychological motif that a Goy hates a Jew and nobody likes to posture as something that he hates, if you add the Jew, maybe that is the reason for it.
Mm-hmm.
About what?
About playing who he is.
I don't think anybody keeps saying that.
These are the Gerim. And the Gerim are going.
Yeah, we're not talking about Gerim now. We're talking about somebody who comes and says he's Jewish.
Yeah.
If he comes and says the Gerim wants to be Nagai, it's a different problem. And we have to deal with it here with Gerim. Now we're dealing with the mother. Somebody comes and says he's Jewish. There is Jewish action. The Yeda, which is known and accepted amongst the Jews, the Oyster Odom Akosh Yehudi, Ena Yodea Lesnakam Oyster Ena Lemo. Certainly, if somebody would come, let's say 100 years ago in Ashtetl, and say, I'm Jewish, and he doesn't know to make a brocha, in the call up, and he can't make an aliyah, or can't make a Amoitzi, it is even the Apokosim. Some of them are very learned, and certainly everybody knew Ibrahim could make a bracha or whatever. If a guy comes and does something like that, it's out of the question. As a matter of fact, when I was still in Montreal, one of the rabbis, I should have known him, but he did a lot of girls. So he said once a party came to him and he said to him, I guess when he got married, that they had a conversion. So he wanted to see, you know, see whether it's on it. So he said, what did they make you drink when they were converted to you? They gave you a cup to make a blessing. Did they give you grape juice or did they give you orange juice? If they grape juice, it's called the summer wine or something. So in the shtetl like that, you know, when everybody knew the snagas of the Jew and somebody comes who doesn't know, then avada, that is negative evidence that the person was Jew. Of course, but now other people, because they don't know anything, and many Jews in Israel don't know anything. Okay, so all right, let's skip a little bit. I'm trying to avoid some of the complicated halachic references, but let's get the concept. The Haina, let's go to the broad side there. The Haina Shah Nemo Loimash Yisroel, Harainemo Bitnaish in Islak, the Chol Yisroel, that he conducts himself like a Jew. Avlin Bova, Oimash Yisroel, who Avinu Deal and Dabra Kadiach Yudim Dabra. Here's where your argument comes in. That's not only the, but the way Jews talk, Amachtish with the hand. He doesn't talk with his hand. You know what I mean? I mean, there are no Italian around. Because, that's why I said there are no Italian around there. I don't know if you remember, I once said that many years ago, but before Shabbos Agol, I broke my little finger. So I had a cast on my hand. So I opened my drosha and I said that the Jew who doesn't have the use of his hand has a speech impediment. So what he's saying is not only the halachas, but a few basic concept that we present, she Yisroel ain't civil of Hakri Bitvora, if you do not have to down him, Amahi Benuya. Ha'im al Koishi Shilagoi Laharas is Nagashi Yisroel. The difficulty for a goy to act Jewishly and to pass as a Jew, the intake is that with Maneinu, Shakol, Shalom Lumoy, all that he has to learn is to say, Yisraelani, I'm a Jew. You don't have to ask Jewishly at all. The ancient is Nagus Yehudi Tanidrosh, you don't ask anything Jewish in tradition, Nani after Yehudi. Because we know everybody comes from Russia, doesn't have Jewish education, and in Israel itself, there are many people who, or the Hebrew, that's all they know, but you don't expect a Russian to know Hebrew, of course not. Besides that, many of them don't have anything. El ala noch shagoy b'derach klal in the Rosh Yisrael. So all that is left is the idea that in general, a goy does not want to be known as a Jew. Ma oich shetzinat yisroel b'deachshal mishareshet b'goy. And possibly also, not only does he feel uncomfortable to pass as a Jew, but there's an actual resentment, and people do not like to present themselves into something which is hateful to them. It's a psychological block. When you think of Menachtam, or which is more than a mission, you're going to avoid this division. All right, now we can move over to Ramosh's Tshuva, on page 45, where he makes that conceptual statement. And he brings other Achroinim who feel that the basis, I'm just giving you the kids of what he said before, who feel that the basis is Jewish conduct, but he says from Igros Moshe is Mashma that it's not the conduct, that the basic principle of the Nemonis of the Yisrael is, who says he is Yisrael, is the psychological resentment of a Gentile to say he's Jewish. נראה לך אורה שנוקע שנמוצה אינה בנוי על הכל של האוזנק של יהודי, it's not based on the difficulty to pastor as a Jew, אלא על הנוכה שהרוי בדרך כלל אין הרוי של יהודי. כל זה נוכל בדיוק. לכן קורסה, רוי הבוים לפנינו, the majority that come before us, בתוירת יהדות ישראל הם, אין אז דווקא שראינם שומרי תוירה מצוות, not because we see them do mitzvot. אלא אף על אמירות של לבד של ישראל, הווה רוב ישראל, מוס ומדיוס. משום דגויים לא יאמרו על עצמם של ישראל. המוי שהול דפנטלי, הגוי will not say he's Jewish. וכל המדינות שידוע ברוב הדגוי, במוס הגוי. Now that's very important for us, because that may not be the case once they're in Israel. But he was concerned about our investigations in Russia, and furthermore, he established the concept that they called the Polish Moroba Polish, that the Sia, that grouping, Ola Russia, which the Rav are Jewish, is established in Russia, not in Israel. So the Mela in Russia, they're still living amongst the Gentiles, where the majority is Goyim. In such a country where the majority is Goyim, no Goy will willingly say he's Jewish when he's not. Okay?
On the other hand, you draw a picture where people would not willingly go to something that they hate.
Yeah.
What's the opposite of that, or the reverse of that? People will run away from something
that
they
hate. We'll get to that. Whether the incentive to get out or to get there is enough to vitiate this argument.
Okay.
Because there is a certain advantage. In other words, do positive advantage which accrue from being Jewish vitiate the psychological reluctance of not wanting to pass the other Jew? Yeah. But in Russia it's still true, but these people not
going to do so much.
Elliot, unfortunately, it's still true in the Soviet Union. This is what we're going to deal with. That's what we're going to deal with. In other words, whether that outweighs that hostility. Okay.
Appealing to them, like when the Shavlin in time of Mordechai, they became Jews because they felt they want to go with the swing. That's also an effect.
All right, I don't want to go any further into this because I want to immediately tackle the problem that you have raised. As you see, I give you sort of only the basic concept because it's a very complex issue and requires a very solid Talmudic background in order to follow it completely. That's why I sort of reduce my remarks to the basic concept, and one of them that you have raised now yourself is, are any benefits that accrue from being Jewish, and do they outweigh that reluctance to pastor as a Jew? Omer Yisrael Ali, that's number six. The Yesh Lo Te'elet Mekah. Then he has some benefits from it. Yira Lavoi, I still have to point out, the Lecha'ore Evshah Ho'yeloima, you could still say, שכשעון היודם שיש לו תאלת מיוס יהודי, if that person has the benefit, the person benefits from being recognized as a Jew. The Yeshiva interest, it's a real Hebrew word as well. He has interested, or he has some interest in the thing. The Baal Musa would say the Yir Bedova, he has some kind of a Yir, some of the Baal. The Mikvah is there, Loi Nami Loi, we should not believe it. The Nefshat boy, we should suspect him, so the Shaka Mishim to Elish Yeshpah. Abu Mutsodom before Shpah Shoyim, but we find that there should not Shoyim Shaka Mishim to Elish Yeshpah, Elish Yeshpah, that even when a person has a benefit, we still believe it. Because, let's see, when a person comes and says, I'm Jewish, what is he coming for to say he's Jewish? That's right there. Because he wants something. He wants something. And what is the thing he wants? What does Gmoli Rambam talk about? He wants to marry a Jewish girl. So he fell in love with a Jewish girl. You don't need a bigger incentive than that. He wants to marry a Jewish woman. So he definitely derives the benefit from saying he's Jewish. And it is precisely there where the Gemara says that he's never. So you see that an interest, a personal interest, does not outweigh the whatever it is, the hostility, whatever we learn, then a goy doesn't want to pass as a Jew. Shehei dasivara, I was showing them Amurim, then they were showing them to talk about the Mishabolos of Isha, somebody wants to marry a woman. The Ainu is Yabim Kameno, we don't know him. In other words, he comes to marry, he's a stranger, comes from out of town. And he wants to marry a Jewish woman, he says, I'm Jewish. Then the Gemara says you believe him, and there he has it to make his motivation. But the Isha, Afa Pishla Hoz, the Gemara calls him, so we don't know he's Jewish. We know the reason Shabiglola Kedai Lolia said he wants to be Jewish. But yes, Lachshin boy, you could suspect. Shemul Shemeshachobas, the Isha Zu, Beshara Shemuyudi. Look what Hamoy and Shem went through because they fell in love with him. Out of Zich Malayelin, in the Ganshe Shdod Malayelin, and what all the things they did, the Inafshe Choshak. Medina Bittoy. So if that isn't enough of a personal interest, what is? And yet we do believe that the sin is so great or the resentment is so great that even for that they wouldn't do. You try to abscond with it, you try to allow the faithful Abinish to come and say and be Jewish, except as a Jew. That's what he's raising now. So he says, that even though there is a obvious self-interest here, yet the resentment of pastoring as Jewish is still great. Dadayin oimet the neget enenu hakoisha hagodol nilmoit is darkly so is lagusa. He said from the Roshoyin of Nishparal, because if you still say, the reason why, even though he wants to marry the Jewish woman, we still believe him, it's not only because of the resentment. Maybe that alone would overcome his resentment of passing the Jewish. But he knows, once he says he is Jewish, let's go back to the times of the Roshoyim. Once he says Jewish, he will become a member. Then he has to become a member between Jewish, then he has to come Shabbos and Shul. He has to do certain things. And that, there certainly will need the additional consequences. In other words, it's not only the momentary overcoming the psychological trauma of pastoring as Jewish. It puts it on track of a lifetime of pastoring. You see, if somebody comes and says he's Jewish, let's say in Russia, if he comes he's Jewish, so he has to bite his fingernails and his tongue and his, I'm Jewish. Look, the Muslim is going to bow. Who bothers it? Who bothers it? You see, but here, if he comes here in the community and marries a woman, that means, especially in the old days where Jews lived together in the ghetto, what have you, in the Jewish community, that means they'll have to live in the Jewish community and have to see these curses eat Allah every day. And then Rumshulam Rechabayit, and then Salah Rumshulam. You know what I mean? In other words, you're having to mingle, to live sociologically with the Jews is a prospect which may outweigh his desire to have the woman. All right, yeah. Yeah, but their concept of Jew is different. He will come to that also. We will also, he will enter into that problem of the perception of Jewishness because of the mixed narrative. In Russia, they have, first of all, they follow the Gentile, the Goyish concept.
Patrilineal.
Patrilineal. I shouldn't say the Goyish, unfortunately, some Jews. As a patrilineal, okay? So he thinks he's Jewish, and he may not have the resentment because he thought he's like a Jew. Alright? That's another problem which we'll see later. Anyway, let's go to the last paragraph of this section. In Yehuda Russia, speaking about before the death of the Jew, and he points out that with this chazak, you can be moitzah mamon, although normally you can't be moitzah mamon with a chazak. Alright? You have to have Eden, maybe I'm making the boy shazak, can be moitzah mamon, according to some Hashoyim. But not a chazak. It's not like a chazak in the Mikor, I cannot be moitzah mamon. This chazak is moitzah mamon, in other words, the way he was mazda is that a chazok in the lesser kamal, there is no, you don't deal with a mir. In a rubber, it's a kamal, you still have a mir, but you pass the light at all. In a rubber, the lesser kamal, I don't have to worry about the mir at all, nevertheless. Because nature tells me this is what it is. Okay? Nature is what it is. And he later on goes into some halachic maneuvers in which he shows in order to master them, he would have to have something which is comparable to a chazoka as a less of a kamal. And he says, the most we can do with such a statement that a goy will not want to say he's a Jew, maybe it's a rubber to issue a kamal if we can prove it. But to make it a rule at a time when they derive such benefit from pastoring as Jewish, it certainly cannot be considered to be a rubber to less of a kamal.
They also don't have the negative because they don't have to follow on.
Exactly. They don't have to follow up with being Jews because it's not expected of them. And many Jews in Israel don't either. Yeah. So they can be a fine Israeli without doing anything religious. Then he goes into a whole lot of this, which I don't want to burden you with. The difference between the chazoka and rov and two rubbers and so on and so forth, which is really, really very complicated. Let's move to page 48. Oh no, this is still not the book, this is still the complication. Let's turn to the seventh day, page 49. What he does, what I omitted here, is a whole filter of mixed marriages, all right? Of mixed marriages, and I'll tell you very quickly, what the basis of the discussion is without going into the whole filter. What he's saying is the following. And the Gemara in the Romans and other places, the Kabbalah of Russia, the Shinim Azar. Anyway, the Gemara says a woman was pregnant, and for some reason we don't know what happened. So the Gemara says we have to say Machzor Zechorah Machzor Nekevah. In terms of, although we know that doesn't always work for certain families, they've only the forms of the here, but in terms of the Berea of the veil, it's more or less Machzor Zechorah Machzor Nekevah. It's more or less true. The reason why there are more women in the world than men in some countries is because the longevity is greater. But essentially, in terms of the birth rate, this is approximately Machzor Machzor. So what the Gemara adds to this is, and Niyot is Noifloid, so she wouldn't have a child at all. Therefore, we can say, and maybe the child was a Mikheva or whatever. In other words, you spoil the Yudah, it's a Machzor. Half and half, even for those children who were born it could be half this and half that. And then there's a possibility that nothing was born. So we put this together, and you have a rov that is in the favor of the person, whatever the favor is needed. You know what I mean? So he says, let's say the mixed marriages go both ways. Men would marry Jewish women, and a goy should marry Jewish women, and a Jewish man marry a goy woman. So we can say machta al machta, you see, machta al machta, and then he wants to add. You want to add those who say oh, he says, so we have a problem. If we are done on people of mixed marriages, we might have a problem. Because 50 and 50, then you have a mute who are definitely going. Well, definitely going. Who will say they are Jewish even if they are going? So it's more of miut, then the majority would be that they're not Jewish. They're not Jewish. So you cannot use this. Then he goes in the whole purple that we can do away with that, that it's different and so on, but I'll leave that alone at this particular point. He wants to be machalic between Machta Machta by Ubo and Machta Machta of this, but again, there's a lot of purple on the wheel itself. Now, he raises the question, Ha'im Rov Poel Gam Klapenishi or Dua Sh'Ober Yehudi. If he knows definitely that his father was Jewish and he claims his father was Jewish, do we believe him that he says he's Jewish altogether? Svora Zu Amur Klapa Olim Ober Klo, just in general. But where we can establish for sure that the father was Jewish, that may be a negative now. We don't know the mother. So the question is about the mother. But the fact that he knows his father is Jewish, is that sufficient that he says he's Jewish? Does it make it better or does it make it worse?
Can you say Rome Jews marry Jews though?
Huh?
Can't you say rogue Jews marry Jews? So if you know that his father was Jewish, so Russian, follow the rogue, that should he marry a Jewish girl?
That's the whole problem.
Are you saying rogue intermarry? You're not saying rogue intermarry. Rogue don't intermarry.
Yeah, he says maybe the rogue, but it still would not be a rogue the less of the Kamon. Because then it would be a numbers game. And he still tries to establish the concept of rogue the less of the Kamon. Let's see what he has to say. Now, in the second paragraph, he says, let them at least be from the Rub of the Ithala Kabbal. Aber af benichvah zeh, adayin onu yocholim nishdamish berub of the Ithala Kabbal, ba'achash al yedei harol, the Lesa Kabbal, hub olol, l'shbein mabach shaliyah of Rutsum, amitzik as kuhulim and yuhulim. We know that the majority who want to come, make aliyah, are Jewish, so I have that role. Ha'poyin aliyadis hazeh, shilu shi'ob of Yehudi, הרי הוא פורש בקבוצה שאולם שרובו יהודים, פחות ופורש ורובו פורש. That means you could say that the fact oh, he says, so we have a problem. If we are done on people of mixed marriages, we might have a problem. Because 50 and 50, then you have a meal who are definitely going. Who will say they are Jewish even if they are going? So it's more of miut, it's a machta, then the majority would be that they're not Jewish. They're not Jewish. So you cannot use this. Then he goes in the whole purple that we can do away with that, that it's different and so on, but I'll leave that alone at this particular point. He wants to be machalic between Machta Machta by Ubo and Machta Machta of this, but again, there's a lot of purple on the wheel itself. Now, he raises the question, Ha'im Rov Poel Gam Klapenishi or Dua Sh'Ober Yehudi. If he knows definitely that his father was Jewish and he claims his father was Jewish, do we believe him that he says he's Jewish altogether? Svora Zu Amur Klapa Olim Ofen Klo, just in general. But where we can establish for sure that the father was Jewish, that may be a negative matter. We don't know the mother. So the question is about the mother. But the fact that he knows his father is Jewish, is that sufficient if he says he's Jewish? Does it make it better or does it make it worse?
Can you say rogue Jews marry Jews though?
Huh?
Can't you say rogue Jews marry Jews? So if you know that his father was Jewish, you should follow the rogue that he married a Jewish girl.
That's the whole point.
Are you saying rove intermarry? You're not saying rove intermarry. Rove don't intermarry.
Yeah, he says maybe the rove, but it still would not be a rove the less of the kamon. Because then it would be a numbers game. And he still tries to establish the concept of rove the less of the kamon. Let's see what he has to say. Now, in the second paragraph, he says, let them at least be from the Rub of the Ithala Kabbal. Aber after Mikhra Zer, Adayin Ono Yecholim Lishdamish the Rub of the Ithala Kabbal, Ba'acha Shayyidei Harol, the Lesha Kabbal, Rub of the Supreme of Bach Shaliyah of Rutsim, and the Sigas Yehudim and Yehudim. We know that the majority who want to come, make Aliyah, are Jewish, so I have that role. Ha'poyin Aliyah Adas Hazeh, Shilun 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 הרי הוא פורש מקבוצת העולם שרובו יהודים, בכל זאת פורש ורובו פורש. That was, you could say that the fact that his father is Jewish should make it worse. That was, if he wouldn't know anything, if we don't know anything, okay? And he would come, we would say, we'd accept him on the basis that the majority who register to leave Russia, the established that, are Jewish, we would accept him. Why should we make it worse? Due to the fact that he says, my father is definitely Jewish, I know that. Okay? That's his Habavim. But then he quotes his brother-in-law, who disagrees with him. This Rabbah, before Shmulevitz, Shmita, here, in Yesh Lodom, maybe what we have to do is, Sha'olim Shedu Alunu, Shavir Yehudi, Hein Kibbutza Mitredes, Hein Kibbutza Sa'olim Achlov. Is that it's quite possible that the Meister, those who claim and claim to know parentage are a separate group. Those who come and say they have no documentation, we claim as Jewish. But the ones who say we can prove that our father is Jewish, you cannot throw him into the hopper of all those who come and register and say they're Jewish. Why? Because here you can say they base their argument on the fact that their father is Jewish. So they become a subgroup within the group. And then you would have to have a rov of those who are really Jewish. That's what his brother-in-law believes. Okay?
Yes. To start off with, since we're dealing with Russians, we don't know really 100% of each and every single Russian. Since we're dealing with Russians, we don't know for sure, even though they're saying they're un-Jewish.
Well, they say they have established the two documentation and so on.
Even the documentation can be
what
say?
Fixed. Huh?
No, but if it's a besondere seer, if they would have a rov that are, then you would be a rov from that group. But we don't have a rov. In other words, once they are a subgroup by themselves, you don't judge either for better or for worse by the overall group. Then you have to evaluate whether within this group, who claim a father is a Jew, whether the majority of that group is Jewish or not. And that cannot be established. Okay?
So because the father is a Jew, becomes more of a gun.
Yeah. But he disagrees. Let's have the next page. He disagrees with his brother, though. Avonira. If he can establish that his father is Jewish, this should not be considered a negative. He has no raya that the mother is. From his bayah, the day she ain't a raya in the yotzikut in the brother. Not knowing, in other words, that the father is Jewish in the Peshkapazor. The only problem is we don't know whether the mother is Jewish. So if you remember, he established the principle before that not having something does not create a subject.
I'm sure you'll find that when you go and say, my mother was not Jewish, my father was Jewish. How do you find in the established you have?
You will find, but this is the point he's going to raise. The point is so going.
Our building is not there then.
I know.
They don't want to know about it.
Yeah. The point is that it is true that the people who think they are Jewish mitzada av may not necessarily have that resentment about being called Jewish. That is something he's going to bring up later. All right. I just want to one more in this before I run off a new set of three. Let's see the conclusion that we draw at the end of this whole discussion. And in the summary, you'll see the point that Hansen just made, that it comes up, 52. Let's summarize this whole section, 1, 2, 3. The second paragraph on 52. Le'in Hagol Marishin, considering the first cause, Fadis Bala El, I explained before, Medivar Chazoyin Ish, Igros Moshe, that after the rain, no documentation, let's make a new groove out of no documentation, and let's see whether the majority of these can be done Jewish, of course, would not be possible. There he established the principle that not having evidence does not create a group. You can create a group of those who want to leave, but you can't create a group of those who can't prove something. Okay? Therefore, we have to throw them into the general hopper, and in the general hopper, there is a majority that is Jewish. He says, similarly here, the fact that the father is Jewish, he doesn't have a soul, how adequate the both parents would be Jewish. The only thing is, he has no evidence that the mother is Jewish. It's a fight of the devil license. We have to create a subgroup who we know only the father, we don't know the mother. You cannot create a subgroup from not knowing. So you have to throw them into the general hopper. And the general hopper is that we have to go both of all, that the majority of people who want to go to Israel are Jewish. Yes.
In the 1970s, the Russian government checked on those who made the Jewish community. The Russian government checked.
I suppose we'll check, but there was a lot of falsification of documentation, and they certainly went only by the father.
They didn't follow halacha when they checked.
Because that made it very difficult for a goy to posture as a Jew. But today, all the difficulties have been totally removed, and only to build a that psychological Tzidat Esav is a little difficult to be matter and say, take the will of that thing. Okay? It's number one. The second problem, Kavadis Bala El, Shemuchach Moshoilet, it is Mashmach Moshoilet, Sha'af Kashe Yeshlo Revach Kodol Yedutza, even though he may have a great benefit, Nemeloi Mashiudihu. He said, even if he has a benefit, we should accept it. But the key machine is buyer. The conclusion that he draws at the end.